This daily Christian newscast is brought to you in partnership with SermonAudio.com.
It's Tuesday, May 30th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Further investigations into the terrorist attack in Manchester, England last week have resulted in 14 arrests thus far. The police have identified the suicide bomber as Salman Abidi, who had recently re-entered the country from Libya a week before the attack. It was presumed that he had made his bomb at the apartment in Manchester. When the World View spoke to Pastor Paul Hallam from Manchester about the attack last week, he said that some of the arrests of suspects happened very close to his home.
I was on my way home just on Tuesday evening when I heard the radio station say a second man had been arrested, the brother of the suicide bomber, and he was being arrested where I live, in Chorlton. So when that happens, you know, it's just unreal.
The Belfast Telegraph reports that Northern Ireland is the only nation left in the United Kingdom which opposes homosexual marriage. And the recent assembly election will make it difficult for the nation to continue its stand against the practice. The Conservatives require 30 seats, and the March election left them with only 28. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." Through a series of votes, the Church of Scotland approved a report which recommended adoption of homosexual marriage and apologized for previous so-called discrimination against the sin of homosexuality. The final vote, which adopted the report of the committee, was 361-94. Sadly, there was no opposition to the apology. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God." The Presbyterian Church USA has lost another 20% of its members in the last 3 years since the General Assembly voted to allow the officiation of homosexual marriage. The liberal denomination's membership is half of what it was in 1984. The stated clerk of the General Assembly said the denomination is not dying, it's reforming. Bangladesh is preparing to evacuate 1 million people in preparation for Cyclone Mora. In God's providence, the storm has already killed 130 people in Sri Lanka and is expected to hit landfall in Bangladesh this morning. British Prime Minister Theresa May is playing hardball on a trade deal with the European Union as Britain takes its exit. She told Sky News, "No deal is better than a bad deal for the Brits." In addition, the Prime Minister has called for another national election in 2 weeks, in hopes the nation will provide a strong endorsement for her exit strategy. As England exits the European Union, we remember the United States' exit from England. Yesterday, on Memorial Day, we remembered the battles of Lexington and Concord on April 19, 1775, in which the American troops lost 49 men. The American War for Independence came about as Americans opposed the quartering of British troops in their homes and taxation without representation. Filipino President Rodrigo Duterte has declared martial law on Mindanao Island after radical Islamists conducted military assaults in some of the cities and kidnapped a Catholic priest. 103 people have died in the violent clashes over the last week. Hundreds of protesters crowded into the Texas legislative chambers yesterday in opposition to Senate Bill 4, a law that bans sanctuary city policies in the Lone Star State, which was recently signed by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. It would allow Texas law enforcement officers to request immigration status of any person during traffic stops. Golf legend Tiger Woods was arrested in Florida on DUI charges early Monday morning. After news of his affairs emerged in 2009, the professional golfer has been divorced, has undergone 3 major surgeries, and has not won a single tournament. Between 1997 and 2008, Woods had won 14 major tournaments. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What does the worldview mean to you? What sets it apart from other news sources? Do you share it with your family, your small group, or your church? Please email me a 2 to 10 sentence long response and include your full name, city, and state. I'd like to share your detailed thoughts with other listeners, both in our daily newscast as well as in an email to our subscribers who receive our weekday email in their inbox. Send it to adam at theworldview.com. That's adam at theworldview.com. Dr. Steve Herford, pastor of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, wrote me this email. Quote, "Adam, I love the topics you cover and the scripture you cite, which is relevant to the news. We put a link on our website for others to hear. Thank you for your conservative Christian bias. Keep up the good work. It's hard to find news presented like the worldview." Unquote. Stay tuned for a special report by Emily Swanson on Christian missions in South Sudan, Africa, immediately following the newscast today. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, May 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Civil war may be raging in Sudan, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is going forward with power. The Worldview reached out to William Levi, director of Operation Nehemiah Missions, a Sudanese himself and a man with a heart for ministry in South Sudan. Levi testifies on their website, www.operationsnehemiah.org, that he received a death sentence at the age of 16 from Islamic radicals for his Christian faith. The Lord provided a way of escape for him in 1985, and he came to America by 1988. Because of the persecution he endured in Sudan, the Lord placed it on William's heart to put his engineering career to the side and start Operation Nehemiah Missions. William told the Worldview that the persecution Sudanese Christians undergo is not surprising.
To many people, this may sound something new, but to us who are raised there and live through this persecution, you know, they could have done the same thing for the pastors in the South Sudan. Remember, since we got our independence, I'm talking about the old Sudan, from Britain in 1955, the Islamic regime had always tried to eradicate the church. So between 55 through 72, they displaced people. Someone like me were born in the exile. And then we came back in the 80s. Again, their attempt to invade the South, destroy the families, burn down the churches, and of course they succeeded in driving the community out into exile, where 2 million people died for their faith being Christian, 4.5 million being displaced.
However, William said that God has miraculously rescued a remnant in Sudan to continue the work of building the church.
In God's providence, God was able to rescue or restore a people from the jaw of Islamic grip. You will never hear of a country that broke free from Islamic oppression in the 20th century or in the 21st century. South Sudan did that. So South Sudan is now a free country, and our work is going forward.
One of the most complicating issues for Sudanese Christians is that Sudan is still in the midst of a civil war, and William asserted that the Islamic State has a hand in trying to divide Sudanese against each other.
We have been involved in a civil war. South Sudan is perpetually in a civil war, and the Islamic regime that is holding these pastors right now have their hand in it. Because it's like a house divided. South Sudan is now broke up along political interests, but some of the people in the opposition are being supported by Islamic government. So an unstable South Sudan is good for Islamic regime in the north. A stable South Sudan is a threat for them.
Levi said that the Civil War puts the Christian church in a hard place.
The church herself is really in a difficult situation. Our work has been going on there since 2004. We rebuilt a small village and put pastor in place, and God is doing his work among his people. There, all these people returned from exile to rebuild their country, but now they're back in exile again. So our work is basically in jeopardy because of the displacement and the war. And when you trace the root back, who is behind this is the Islamic regime in the north.
He said they are not discouraged, but they are praying 2 Chronicles 7:14 for the nation of Sudan.
I pray that we, people of South Sudan, who are Christian, the churches, the families, will come to their senses and repent before God, like we read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall pray and humble themselves, that I will hear their prayer from heaven and look down from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So South Sudan right now need a healing of a nation. And our ministry, Operation Nehemiah, is to be a beacon of spreading the gospel and to bring the good news and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
William said that the mainstream media thinks that South Sudan is a dangerous place that should be avoided, but he and his family see that as an opportunity to take the good news of Jesus Christ.
At a time when you read the mainstream media, they say you can't go to South Sudan because when you go there, you'll go to die, and that people have fled the area, and you cannot just go there. And so they're trying to make us afraid. Like in the day of Nehemiah, they're trying to cause Nehemiah to be afraid so that he stops rebuilding the wall. But we say no. Our life is in the hands of God, and he's the one guiding us, and he has opened the door for us to minister to the people. So we have, for all this time, in the middle of crisis, when other people are turning away and running away, we went into it.
William said that their mission is to encourage the church to not escape the spiritual battlefield in Sudan.
So we encourage the indigenous leadership on the ground, the church leadership, not to flee, because the church cannot run away. Our Christian testimony can only be verified and justified when we can stand through the time of trials and testing.
Levi also said that they wanted to introduce family discipleship as a primary focus in the missions trip.
We do a lot of family discipleship, restoring the family and rebuilding one church, one family, one village at a time. So our work there is going forward. And when you look around, people talk about crisis here and crisis there. But we are there ministering to our families and raising up indigenous pastors and asking the men, young men, women, and young families to work with their own hands, to mind their own business.
The Operations Nehemiah Ministry has also introduced Christian radio to southern Sudan.
In the midst of that, we have a radio station. We have a Nehemiah Trumpet Call, 97.3 FM. It is reaching out to millions of people every day. The gospel is going forward. We spend our time discipling young people to embrace the Lord and to know that we are called here to be Christ's ambassadors.
One of the other hindrances to the work is the United Nations. Levi says they act on the mistaken assumption that they can bring peace without the gospel of Christ.
They pretend that they are the solution, but more or less they are the root and architect of the problem, the ratchet tension along tribal lines.
He said that the UN encourages fear among the people, but Levi and his family want to prompt the people to more faith in God.
So we are saying to the people, no, we cannot be perpetually on the run. And that if we truly have suffered persecution as Christians, now as Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 7 say, you know, all of these things will happen, tribulation, trials, and difficulty will come. But that's all the more to test our faith and to give us hope.
William concluded by encouraging Christians that God can do wondrous things when others tell you to be afraid.
Even though they tell us not to get in there because we get killed, believe me, Emily, Sister Emily, it was amazing what God has done there. We met military commanders, and we met young soldiers. We met police officers. They say, look, Pastor William Davy, please, we want you to be a voice here. Bring the gospel message. We need reconciliation. We need to build confidence. You are the leaders of the church. You need to really intercede for the country.
William shared that many soldiers who are feeling great oppression had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Operation Nehemiah team. He said that the need of the hour is the word of God.